Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM and 96.9 FM. With me always is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
What's going on?
I also got my main man, Mr. AEW, who's tired right now, Champ Creed. What's going on, Champ?
I'm good, bro. You asked me what time zone I'm in. I'm in the party zone, brother.
Lovely party zone. I guess the biggest thing we want to start with is AEW. AEW pay-per-view coming from Las Vegas over the weekend. Good show. Great show. You know, and we get right there. We saw the emergence of Jonny Moxley. And that's the biggest story right there. Jonny Moxley shows up at AEW at the end of the match. At the end of a good match between Kenny Omega and Chris Jericho, which Chris Jericho won. Your thoughts on the last match with Chris Jericho and with Jonny Moxley showing up?
I will say this. Usually you can tell what's going on in whatever field of entertainment it is by your Uber ride to the place and your walk out after. And, you know, in the Uber, before I was heading to StarCast, the question was, hey, what's going on? What brings you into town? And I said, oh, there's a professional wrestling event. It's called Double or Nothing. And every Uber driver that I had is like, wait a minute, is this a wrestling thing? Oh, yeah. Is it the real stuff, or is it like, you know, the fake stuff? And then I go, well, you know about John Wick, right? They go, yeah. I say, well, this would be the equivalent of John Wick live, you know? And they go, oh, okay, I see what you're saying. And he's like, yeah, I heard about it. You know, is wrestling making a comeback, right? And just by that question alone, I thought that the weekend was won. Because people knew about it. You had a lot of things going on Memorial Day weekend in the Las Vegas area. So for them to be able to bring in, you know, as many people as they did with everything else that's going on, I think that's a win. We'll go down the card in a minute. But got to give a shout out to Conrad and StarCast too, because what the StarCast movement has done going hand in hand with AEW is that even if the fans couldn't afford the ticket, which the tickets were very affordable, even if they couldn't go to Double or Nothing, they still brought in a sizable amount of fans to attend StarCast. You know, that level of interactivity, which is similar to, you know, WWE Access, which they operate a little bit differently, which we can talk about that, you know, a little bit later as well. But nonetheless, it gives an interactive experience with the fans, the podcast programming, and then the podcasting serves as marketing and promotion of the event from a grassroots standpoint. So the synergy that StarCast 2 and the pay-per-view Double or Nothing had going into Saturday was great. And then the pay-per-view itself, you know, it was phenomenal. And I'll open up the floor and say this to you guys before you chime in. Two things. One, I've never been to any boxing match, wrestling event, UFC card, underground MMA, smokers, anything, where in one row you had a mom breastfeeding her child, and in a couple rows down you had two female adult porn stars making out while the crowd is chanting around them. And that being said, I'll leave the floor open to you guys.
Oh, well then, yep. There you go. I mean, all in Vegas, man. All in Vegas. The show was good. I enjoyed it. I did. Not to be the person with the critical eye, but I am going to be the person with the critical eye. The show was very good. There were the television output seeing it. There's still work to do. And that's not a bad thing, because there's always room for improvement, and they'll improve, but there's improvement that does need to be made just by, I think, from my observation, a lot of the quick camera cuts and kind of the moving around, the different angles and everything, I thought it was a little too much for them in the sense of, I guess whoever was doing that was maybe hitting that button to switch cameras too much, because like these quick spins and pans of the crowd, they were so quick, like it was just, it felt cool, but at the same time, it was kind of like, okay, it's almost like I'm on a ride or something, like it was moving too fast. And they were missed some key shots of things that were going on during matches were missed because they were in a different angle than the most optimal angle you could catch. Like they somebody did a dive over the top rope. They did like a suicide dive, and it was never even caught on camera. And then they never even showed a replay. And that was a lot of, you know, kind of high spot type moves didn't get a replay, to where I think they were doing that in the sense of maybe whoever the director was, maybe they had the eye of they've seen this so many times from this person that maybe to them it was like, okay, that's just them doing this 450 again or something, you know, just hypothetically speaking, as opposed to I don't think they fully took advantage of or fully considered we had a lot of people tuning in and seeing the talent that you have for the first time. So it was kind of like, okay, we know you all are used to seeing this person on the indie scene or in ROH or in something to where you know their moves, but it was to where, okay, if it was me and I had never seen them, I wouldn't know what to look for as a special move, because it was just like, okay, there were no replays of it. And it's almost like how Roman Reigns does the Superman punch. They don't really replay it. However, there are times that they do, just to make sure you get the emphasis of how important that move is. So that's you get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotcha. You know, for me, you know, on that same line is the Wizard. I didn't have a lot of backstory on some of the wrestlers. Meaning, if this was my first event watching AEW or watching their event, they didn't tell me on who was supposed to be the superstars. I know the main event. I mean, the Super Smash Brothers debuted, and most people didn't know who they are.
So who debuted?
See, look, there you go. You proved my point.
Wait, no. Not even prove your point. I didn't hear what you said.
The Super Smash Brothers debuted, and most wrestling fans did not know who they were.
Wait, the Super Smash Brothers? Time out. Hold on. Who did they face off against? Because I was in and out back and forth. I had an actual short story. I might have missed it.
They came in the ring at the end of the tag team match. And then guys, and then Minions came in. They're from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla.
After Penta and what was that? Was it after? Let me see. I'm trying to think of the card in order. Forgive me. Which match preceded their run-in?
Right. Yeah, the Young Bucks and Pentagon and Phoenix match.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I was tuned away, and then I kind of like came in, like, because I was switching areas. But continue story.
But what I'm saying is they didn't introduce who they were. So you got a lot of fans not knowing some of these guys. Even in the Battle Royal, if you watch the Battle Royal from TV, you know, this is your first time tuning into AEW and you see all these wrestlers in the ring. You don't know who to cheer for, who not to cheer for. With all these wrestlers.
Yeah, it was very, like, you kind of knew, if you were smart enough to pick up on it, you knew who to cheer and who to boo. But for the most part, you kind of had to wait for the crowd to react, and
right.
then you mm-hmm. figured out what was going on.
And,
so that could hurt a little bit too.
Right, a lot of that's on announcers. So you know you have announcers on there, and so you have to be able to build some of these guys up for a new wrestling artist. They can't assume, and you know we're wrestling guys, and we watch wrestling, and we watch some indie stuff, and go to indie stuff. But a lot of wrestlers are going to be tuning in on TNT. This is going to be first time watching AEW. So I imagine you should have some backstory, some packages, some things to let people know who these guys are. And that's one thing about the WWE. WWE does a great job on their big fights or their pay-per-views giving you a package. If you never watched the product before, based off the packages they do, you can tell what's the storyline, what's going on. So that's just little things AEW has to fix. I mean, I like the show. Trust me, all the stuff that was there from Cody Rhodes breaking the throne with the sledgehammer, the symbolism of that. And
you know what's funny, G-Lo? A lot of – you know what? That moment, that kind of symbolism, that really had a mixed reaction. It had a mixed reaction. A lot of people, you know, for as many people that thought it was cool, there were just as many people that were kind of like, okay, they reaching with this, or they're doing too much, or they're like, okay, what was that for? Like, if y'all aren't in competition, or you know, just you know, little things. I'm not saying I said that. I thought it was interesting at best, but I just you know, throughout the internet, I've seen a lot of people say, you know, like, oh, like what? Like a lot of people felt like, okay, whatever.
Right. You know, I took it as when I saw it, I was like, okay, it's breaking away from, you know, we're coming after the throne and we're going to take it. You call yourself the king of kings and you're the CEO of this company. We're coming after you. We're not there yet. And I'm breaking away from it. I mean, that's why I took it. You know, to me, I also thought about all the shots Triple H gave them at the Hall of Fame. I thought about it, you know, speech. I thought about that. This is a way for us to get back at you, you know, without me really addressing who you are. Do symbolism because fans who follow AEW, most of them are hardcore fans, but they're still going to get some new audience people because I got a boy who may not watch it, or I got a cousin who may not watch it, may want to watch it. You know, this wrestling, man, what's this? And I have to spend most of the time explaining the backdrops or backstory and stuff, which is not a bad thing to do, but at the same time, you want to be able to then sit down and watch the product and realize what's going on.
Yeah. And one thing that Cody positioned, you know, speaking with the media, the press, and even the StarCasting, to which I got there, like the opening night of StarCast, it was Cody and the Young Bucks, and they were doing, you know, the live podcast, which I can't speak, you know, I can't even find the words to say this, John, but the fact that you feel like with these fans, now mind you, I'm not an indie fan. We've been joking on this show for years that I'm, you know, borderline casual guy, you know. and I will say, I did not know going into this, I knew Hangman Page. I knew you got to know who the Young Bucks are. I've only saw like maybe a half a match of theirs on YouTube. Already familiar with Cody, familiar with Dustin. Of course, you know I'm familiar with Jericho. I've seen some of Penta and his brother previously, so I'm familiar with them. But there were a lot of guys that I did not know on this card, and a lot of girls I did not know on this card. But the fact that on the first night you have Cody and the Bucks talking to the fans, giving that introduction via the StarCast platform, to which I think there has to be some sort of synergy there, like you just mentioned. Like if you just tuned in to the double or nothing, you don't really know who's who. But by going to the StarCast event, like I was indoctrinated as to who are these people. Oh, and also Kenny Omega. I'm familiar with Kenny Omega.
Did you know who any of the women were other than the Awesome Kong? Did you know I'm seriously asking, not in jest.
No,
like, did you know who any of the women were?
I saw the transgender performer. I'm familiar with them. Because I saw that,
she's from here.
She's from DC. Locally. I'm aware of her from the local scene out in DC because you know I'm frequent the area. And then there was the other. I'm just going to call her, like, Pseudo Bailey because I can't remember her name.
Oh, Smiley Kylie. Yeah, she's –
yeah. Yeah. I've seen her before, but I didn't know anyone, even in the six woman.
So you didn't know Britt Baker, right? You didn't know the dentist? She is legitimately a dentist.
No.
That's one.
I saw her cut out, but I didn't know who she was.
And she's, so as far as I know, unless there's been a breakup, which I doubt, she also dates Adam Cole.
Yes. They're still, that's her fiance. Well, yeah, they still together.
Yeah, so she is with Adam Cole. So there you go.
Okay.
The more you know.
One thing, Champ, that you taught is that what I think AEW has that over WWE, while we're talking about AEW, they're more accessible. And I know WWE has access, but AEW, when they say they're treating this like a sporting event, they're really treating it like a sporting event from the press conferences to things afterwards. These guys are more accessible. They're talking. They're interacting with the fans. You don't see WWE wrestlers do that at Access. I mean, Access is like herding cattle. Get in, get your autograph, get your picture, get off the stage.
Yeah.
Get in, get your autograph, get your picture, get off the stage. When you take time and invest in the wrestling fans are taking more time to invest with you financially. You know, the AEW feel has a WrestleCon type feel to it, and that's where the fans, where they're touchable and they're accessible. And that's why the fans are spending money on merch. Fans are more accessible to it. They feel like they get more of their money's worth because I've kind of built a relationship because I can ask Cody the Bucks or Omega a question. And it was
they had a thing where you could smoke cigars with Cody on Sunday. If you bought like a certain package, is the interactivity is crazy. And I want to say also the difference is that I felt like I was at a party that just happened to have a ring in the middle of it, man. It didn't feel like I'm going to watch a wrestling show. It felt like this was a party with a ring in the middle of it. And to be honest with you, the last time I was in an environment like that, comparing it to WWE, the SmackDown that Arnold Schwarzenegger was there, I think that was like one of the early
Baltimore.
SmackDowns.
In Baltimore.
Yes. Yes.
And that was 99? Yeah.
That was 99. That's the last what I felt this weekend at Double or Nothing was the same thing I felt at that SmackDown with Arnold there. But look how long ago that was. Of course, the industry has changed since then. But just the overall environment, the vibe, everything that comes with, Double or Nothing, which I feel will be replicated at All Out in Chicago. And look, I'll even tell you this. Like, I missed All In Chicago. But, like, about maybe a week and a half later, I saw a guy with an All In shirt on a train. And I asked him, I said, yo, did you go to All In? He said, yeah, man, I went. It was crazy. And then he's telling me about it, right? And to me, it felt like a guy that went on a religious retreat and came back and his soul was re-energized. And while he's telling me this story on the train, another guy comes in and he goes, oh, you're talking about All In, right? And then I'm having this conversation with these two guys who are wrestling fans or whatever that, you know, it randomly sparked an organic conversation about the event, about everything moving forward. And I just got to say, man, you know, media-wise, they did everything right. You know, event-wise, like in the arena, they did everything right. The only thing that they messed up on, from my vantage point, and I had a really good vantage point, was that the camera guy, the camera guy that was getting the entrances and, you know, the ramp stuff, like he messed up a couple times, so that may speak to why there were like some hard cuts and some fast cuts on a broadcast, which I have to watch the broadcast, when I get a moment. And then there was a situation where like some of the talent that was heading to the back, they got confused in terms of which way that they needed to go to exit, whatever. Which, you know, there are some things that you when you go to as many WWE pay-per-views and live shows, you know that their stagehands are, like, no pun intended, they are elite at what they do, you know.
Right.
And their stagehands need to tighten up a little bit. But once again, like we said, this is the first show. And, you know, you can only get better from here. But where they're at right now, they're not starting out behind the eight ball. They're starting out way ahead.
I definitely agree. They really advanced themselves. We talked about on last week's show. You know, we said they had to have a show to be number two. I think they're number two right now. Over Ring of Honor, over Impact Wrestling.
Impact.
mm-hmm. over Impact. I think right now AEW is number two. Will it be competition for WWE? Only time will tell. I mean, money wise, good. Like I mentioned earlier, I like it. It's cool when you can do pay per views like Double or Nothing and All In because you can get everything together. You have months to get things together. But when you can do weekly television, to me, that's what's going to make or break this company. If they can do compelling TV every week, where, you know, fans are complaining now about WWE ratings, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. You're comparing a pay-per-view to a weekly television show. To me, they're not the same.
But I mean, even go pay-per-view. Well, I don't like to do the comparison thing because it's just one show. You know,
right.
It's just one show. And it's not at this point in time, it's not competition. It's just the alternative, what have you, to what you want to see. But I think we can only start to do the comparison when they debut in, what is that, October? They're going to be on TNT?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, once they have their weekly television, then we can flip channels, and then that'll make our show even better because we can talk about, you know, all right, on Monday was Raw, Tuesday is whatever they're going to call the AEW show, and then Friday is going to be SmackDown, but it's going to be kind of weird because if we do this on a Wednesday, we're only going to be able to talk about Raw and AEW and a pay-per-view if it goes on. So we might even have to change up a few things with what we're doing. But nonetheless,
yeah, I was
going to
say, yeah.
About.
I agree. Yeah, we'll talk.
Mm-hmm. Talk. You know, John Moxley, because y'all messed with me earlier. the name has been in the news a lot, man. I tell you this, I had a lady, and I don't think I shared with you guys, I might share with you later, a young lady who trolled me to the fullest. Oh, that's a WWE pay-per-view. That's a WWE promo. That's a WWE. The WWE owns his handle. He's nowhere in the world. He's going to AEW. And I really wanted to find her message and find her Twitter handle or whatever the case may be and be like, when he debuted, like, got you. But I don't want to be that troll. My name ain't Kevin Durant, so I don't want to be a troll like that. So
You should have. I wish it had been me.
I know I should have. I should have.
You
but nonetheless, he debuted at Double or Nothing, which I thought was great, man. I thought the debut was good. And all of a sudden, coming out of the stands, coming down the steps, getting into the ring, just looked like he was having so much fun, like the handcuffs were off and he could do whatever he wants to do. And that's what I think is the most important thing. When you're having wrestlers who are having fun, then the business would be that much better. Your thoughts when y'all saw him on Saturday night. Champ, you was there and you was it. I know you watched.
Well,
you want
I mean,
me to go?
Yeah, you go ahead and I'll follow up after you.
Okay. I thought it was very well done. The crowd made that moment in the sense of, you know, them popping for it made it a little extra special. Not critical of it, but it was just, it was cool to see him, but it was like, I just saw him. And that's the only little tiff that I had about it was just that I was like, this is definitely big for them, but I think it would have felt a little bigger, which this is nobody's fault. It's just timing. It would have felt a little bigger if he had all of a sudden showed up and it had been 2-3 months later instead of it being weeks later. That was my only gripe.
You're going to get that in October, buddy.
that's what I'm thinking. That's what I'm thinking is that we're going to get somebody in October. You're exactly right. Labor Day weekend, in which by some kind of off chance at All Out, if Punk shows up there, that's the feeling you're going to get that you wanted to get, even that you still got it with Ambrose. I mean, or not Ambrose, I'm sorry, Moxley. You still got it with him at that. But something like a Punk coming out in Chicago, that's going to be huge. And like you just alluded to, Champ, whoever shows up on that first episode in October out of the blue, that one's going to be different. I mean, that one's going to be cool because the Ambrose, my gosh, I'm getting used to it. The Moxley show up was almost not expected, But it was almost like when it happened, it was like, ah, okay, good move. It wasn't like, oh my goodness, for me, this is strictly for me. I was like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me, Dean? I mean, John Moxley's there. Are you kidding me? It wasn't like that for me. It kind of felt like, all right, good move, good signing. That's how it felt for me.
Yeah, you know what it felt like? It literally felt like, you know, you were hanging out at a party and you heard one of your friends getting out of Chino or San Quentin or whatever, but you didn't know their actual release date. And then they showed up at the party on their first day out of jail, and it's like, hey, you know, so I see what you're saying. It's like, we knew he was getting out, so we weren't totally blindsided by it, but it was very nice to see him in that setting.
I think what made it, what we were, as wrestling fans, wasn't unclear of was what his contract said about the 30 days, the 90 days, excuse me. We wasn't clear about that. And I think that was But now, because he didn't get released and his contract ended, to me, I believe the 90 days have no bearing.
No, it has
on
no
that.
Bearing. You're right. You're exactly right. It has no bearing because he just let his contract run out.
Right. And then also,
he was a free agent as of X date.
It was in Vegas. We heard all week he was doing the movie, but should have been like, you know what? He is from Vegas. So he might be able to fly home, do a show, or make an appearance and fly back. That's why I was like, oh man, he's here. Okay. And then when he attacked both of them and then you saw the middle fingers and you saw all the stuff, you're like, man, this, yo, John. And he didn't really do any of the quirky Dean Ambrose stuff. If you want to think about it, he really just, the persona of John Moxley was kind of much different or turned up to 100 degrees of what he wanted to do in WWE. They wouldn't let him do. So it's like Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, he still had some early. That Moxley we saw this weekend had some early Dean Shield mannerisms. It did. We just hadn't seen it in a while. But when I saw him, I was like, okay. But you're absolutely right. It wasn't quirky Dean that we got the last 2 years or so. It was pretty much early Dean that you got in the Shield that was quirky, but in a different way. That's what you got.
Well, this opens us up for a new segment, which is better. You guys know, we're trying to do a new segment here on the show, which is better. Your opinion, which debut was better? Dean Ambrose's debut on AEW or Lex Luger's appearance on Monday Nitro?
Call me traditionalist or whatnot. I don't care. I think Luger's was a bigger deal. If that's what you're asking... If you're talking about pure aesthetics of seeing the moment on television or
seeing the moment on television, because we really don't know how it's going to play out yet. But seeing the moment on television, and your
moment, it was exciting to see Dean Ambrose, but the shock value was with Lex Luger. So to me, I mean, just purely speaking from my point of view. If I'm going off of, you know, shock value or the interest factor of what you're going to get, I'm absolutely going with Luger on Nitro because Luger had just wrestled the show the day before for WWE. So, and I know it wasn't the time of the biggest boom of the internet, but, I mean, for that to happen, like him literally wrestling for WWE the night before the house show, and he drives to Nitro and shows up there at the first Nitro, that's a big deal.
Yeah, champ, which one you think this is big?
I'm thinking, well, okay. The Luger showing up the next day, that was very, very huge. Very huge. I would say that if we didn't have Scott Hall and Nash show up, then I would say that and Rick Rude, I would say that the Luger situation was like really, really huge. But I just think that with Moxley showing up here at AEW for everything that's going on now, it's actually bigger in the sense that we have social media now. Had we had social media then, or you reverse it,
the Luger situation would it would definitely be like crazy. But just due to the fact that there are a sheer number of eyeballs and the ability for the message to get out beyond traditional wrestling fans, I'd say that the Moxley situation is bigger just based on numbers, but the Luger one was more impactful at that time.
Absolutely, I agree.
Yeah, that's what I said. The Luger one was impactful because it was the first shot to Money Night Wars. To me, I think Luger was impactful because everybody mentioned the same thing because he was there the night before on WWE. You did not expect him. And it was impactful because the announcers really made it up. Like, Bobby Heenan, what are you doing here? wait a minute. Get a right to be here. He ain't got a right to be here. You know, you had the whole announcers, Bischoff, and I believe Stephen Michael was on the call there, if I'm not mistaken. All pumping up Luger, and then you hear the crowd started chanting Luger's name when you got to that point. It made it seem like, oh, dang, it is big. This is huge here, you know? And then the point that he showed up at, I think most people forget that point. And was it, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't it the beginning of the Sting-Ric Flair match?
I think during Sting and Ric Flair, the main event.
Yeah, Sting and Flair was showing wrestling. So you had Sting, Flair, and here you get Lex Luger, who's walking in the Mall of America with his white shirt on. And you're like, hold on. And then I just see this dude. And so it became, and then the announcer built up. So I think that one had the most impact. But I think Dean Ambrose, as time plays out, I think, and how AEW does, we may be looking back at this thing with Dean Ambrose saying, you know what? That was huge for the company. And I've been wanting to say that Dean Ambrose's impact, and I've gone on record and saying that, you know, and I ask you guys, is Dean Ambrose a big enough star to propel AEW to the next level?
Yeah, absolutely. Just because it, like, he gave everyone something to talk about, and you know, I will say this. You know, professional wrestling, it's an art form. It's a craft. It's stagecraft. It's theater. It's improv. It's TV. It's entertainment. It's all of these things. And the performers are artists, and they express themselves physically and artistically through their characters that they create on their own, and then ultimately, which gets modified to a certain degree once you reach the highest level. And I feel that the frustration here is beyond money. Like you said, once you make the main roster, you got money. You know, hopefully you got money.
Sure do.
Unless you're in a situation like Leo Rush, to which maybe one day we need to dedicate like a half of a show to that, because I don't really get what's going on with him, his money situation, and him being on television and having his phrases used for different merchandise. You know, it's a whole thing. We'll talk about that another time. But it seems like the frustrations are all creative expression. Like when Dean, at the end of the pay-per-view, I was like right next to him with the earshot. He said, look at that. I can use my middle finger again. And it's like, wow, bro. Like something like that should not be that significant. But it is that significant because creatively you're handcuffed where you are with WWE. And you know, and we can't speak ill of Vince because, you know, that's Vince. And even at StarCast, you know, a lot of former performers were giving him shit and they were complaining, whatever. But if that man walked into Caesar's Palace, and people would just mark out and faint, you know, and turn to super fanboys. So I'm not going to subscribe to, all right, let's bash this guy because we're at a new party. But to a certain degree, the way that he runs things, and Dean said it best on the Jericho podcast, he said, you brought me here for a reason. If you wanted me to just recite lines and do things the way you want them to be done, you should just hire an actor because the actor will deliver it better than I can. That's not what I am. I am a professional wrestler. I am a worker. I am a talent. And I have a creative side to me that I want to exercise. And once I feel that it's no fun anymore, that's when I'm gone. And I'm telling you, I bet at least 75% of the roster watched Double or Nothing.
It's higher than that.
on Saturday. You think you're okay? Let's go higher than that. What do you say? 90% or all of them?
Yeah, definitely 90%. They're probably watching with Vince or whoever is the higher up. Like, I can almost guarantee that they were.
They watched it. And if you're somebody and your contract is about to expire at some point and sometime soon, you're thinking about the alternative.
Yeah, but you know, one thing about that, majority of them watch Big E commented, Bailey commented on it, Sasha Banks, she like almost live tweeted the whole show on there. You had the Revival who made some comments as well, showing the Bret Hart shirt, doing when Bret Hart revealed the title. Dawson did. But with that being said, let's be honest. They're not, if they have anything from WCW, they're not taking every wrestler from WWE. And they should not take every wrestler from WWE whose contract goes up and who calls them to come over to AEW. To me, that's a straight up downfall when you start taking every WWE wrestler who contract is up. To me, you take a select few, you take those that can earn you money, but I'm not taking everybody because of they used to work for the WWE. That was a downfall. It didn't work well for TNA at times. It didn't work well for WCW at times. And I figure if you're one of the old heads that try to come over, we're not taking you. If you're a young guy who know how to work and wrestle, from AEW, I'll bring you in and do something with you. But I'm not taking everybody. There should be a select few.
As they shouldn't. They shouldn't take everybody.
Yeah, but like, I mean, I'm just saying, everybody thinks, okay, we got an alternative now. That door is going to close. And then you're going to be SOL or out of luck when you go to AEW. They should have a game plan on who they want, because you don't want your roster so much now, because so much with old heads from WWE that you can't build the younger talent that you're bringing in and making them household names.
Right.
This is what this company's built on, taking a no-name guy or a guy that's not that everybody don't know and building them up to making them household names. You don't want to become like the product that you're – otherwise, you don't want to get the problem from the other company, and now they become your problem.
Right.
When you don't have a creative move for them, i.e. Pac. You know, you don't want that situation to run through your locker room where they say, you know what, I'm not losing so-and-so, I'm gone. So you don't take everybody. The Ascension can't go to the Ascension can't go to AEW.
I wouldn't want them.
You see what I'm saying? So I'm just saying, if AEW want to be successful, they shouldn't take everybody. They should take the select few people, a Cesaro, a Gallows, and Anderson.
That's not in their control, though. They got to wait out contracts. And pretty much what it is now is that people are going to stop trying to demand to be let out, and they're going to start waiting. Just because you never know when an injury may happen or anything, so they want to be covered. That's what they wait on.
Yeah, and then you wait. You wait on the contract, and then you negotiate. If you AEW, okay, we can use you, we can't. There gonna be some people from WWE who wait out their contract who gonna get turned down by AEW.
And then they can go to New Japan, or they can go to ROH. Or they can go to AAA, or they can go to Lucha Underground. Well,
yeah.
I don't think they have a TV deal anymore.
No, and all those other places, you got to figure, you got to make sure, like you just alluded to, that they have TV or some kind of way for you to be exposed. So,
yeah,
there you go.
I mean, that's just one of the things. Everybody who's talking, there's a select few that can go. And you know, there's some people going to be loyal to the company. Let's be honest. I just don't think, and maybe me, everybody's not making money. The AEW people are not paying people like WWE's getting paid right now. They can't come out of the game.
No, but they're getting their employees, and they're getting benefits, and they're getting a lot of different things that you don't get as a supposed independent contractor.
So that's fine. And to me, financially, if you're an independent contractor and you're making X amount of dollars, you know, I'm an independent, in my day job, I'm an independent contractor. So what I do, I set my stuff up accordingly, you know, with the finances and with the pieces that's there, with the health insurance, with all that. You know, you're making money. You become your own business. So therefore.
I think I know where he's getting at. Go ahead.
That's not for everyone. It sounds nice, but once you have to tally your expenses, and then the one thing that I wanted to talk about was okay, so let's say you show up, right? You show up for Raw. They're
right.
in catering. They're waiting. Do you get – you? Obviously, there's a separate pay rate for showing up versus being on TV. Am I correct?
Not 100% sure on that one. About TV.
Okay.
Being on the show. I know house shows are a different pay rate. Being on pay-per-view
yeah.
is a different pay rate. I'm not necessarily sure.
Oh, all of that's different. All of that's different.
But here's the other thing. So what's the pay rate with the network now versus the points that you would get from pay-per-views? Because I know that was a big deal with Punk. Punk wanted to know, like, okay, since we're going to a network-based situation, what are the payouts from that? You know, because it's totally different from the pay-per-view scale and breakdown. Wiz, you can follow up on that question and jump in and say what you were going to say.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I was going to say, yeah, all of the gates are different depending on which show you're going to. Pretty much the network's only going to have influence on the pay-per-views, realistically, because that's where they're being prominently shown. So, it's pretty much, it's not going to help you or talent to be, you know, kind of worried about that in the sense of with the network, because it's only 5 years old right now. It's pretty much to a point where you're kind of like, okay, they're probably just turning a profit after whatever money they're getting from WWE Network is being infused somewhere else in WWE to kind of cover in. At this point, this is probably the first year it's going to end up being truly financially viable, that they're definitely not losing any money.
Yeah, definitely not doing that. You know, we mentioned Dean Ambrose, he said it on the Chris Jericho show this week on his interview. He mentioned that, you know, even when he was still getting ready to leave, Vince offered him a lot of money, you know, to stay. But it wasn't about the money.
Right.
We were about the creative. You know, it was about, I have my house paid off. My mother got her house paid off. I paid her house off. I don't need the money. And we talked about it offline. A lot of these young wrestlers now are smart with their money. Matter of fact, they teach a class at the Performance Center how to manage your money.
Yep.
They put them through financial literacy classes to make sure they are financially good, so they don't end up like some of the old timers where they don't have money at the end of them wrestling. So you have wrestlers who are financially taken care of. I mean, we haven't seen CM Punk back in a wrestling ring, not because he didn't need the money.
He got like a $4 million deal from UFC. You can't throw.
Yeah, but he prior to the $2 million deal, when he left before the UFC deal, he was already smart with his money. And
right.
That was
But that's him. But you can't use him and say that he's the benchmark for everybody. There's more people that are messed up than people that are doing well. I think personally, it's an individual situation. But at the same time, if you're going to talk about that, you got to talk about the rules. And you can be an independent contractor all you want, but there's going to be
right.
some damage from this particular job. And your injuries may not show up while you're on the roster. They can pop up when you're done with them. They've been doing a good job of taking care of some guys, but they can't take care of all the guys. You know, I just don't think it's as cut and dry as, you know, the arguments and the anecdotes that we're providing on this topic right now. That could be a whole show within itself.
Yeah,
sure.
but those who – I have not heard of the company not taking care of anyone who hurt themselves in the ring. I have not – anyone who hurt themselves was on WWE property doing WWE stuff.
Did they take care of Chris Nowinski?
Yes.
Are they taking care of him now?
He's fine now. I don't know if they're still taking care of him now.
No, they're not. And that's the thing. Like, you can get an injury in the ring, and they can get, all right, you got hurt in the ring on Monday, and, yeah, they're taking care of it. There's some of these injuries that accumulate over time. Like, it's more than just them saying, all right, you got hurt on our time, we'll take care of it, which is a great gesture, you know, but some of, like, the situations, like potential CTE situations where those effects don't show up till later, you know.
But
what do you say to that? Like, it's still a gray area, you know.
But you as the independent contractor, you buy yourself long-term care insurance. You have disability insurance. So with your finances, if you and talk to your financial planner, there's ways that even if you're a wrestler, there are ways that you can take care and to insure yourself if that occurs. So financially, if you're smart enough, you take care of your long-term care disability insurance, you take care of all your insurances and stuff like that, with the finances that you realize that, you know what, I may not be able to afford to rent my own car, so I buddy up with somebody, or I may not afford to live in a hotel.
But listen, should I really have to pay for my car and hotel? Like, should I really, like, what you're risking versus what you're getting? Like, now, this is a union versus labor situation that we're talking about right now. And I'll use Leo Rush. Like, what Leo Rush is saying, I don't know what he does in his personal finances. I can only go off of what I've been, you know, reading and what has been passed on, you know, on different podcasts and websites. Okay, if you really, really think about it, his words are intellectual property, right? If those words are being placed and trademarked on something to sell it, then he should receive a royalty. Now, the percentage of that royalty is probably negotiable if you're really an independent contractor, but we know that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that whatever intellectual property that you come up under that banner with your independent contract, with your contract, they get to keep that. That's why you have a guy like Ryback has to change his name to Ryback. That's why Ultimate Warrior changed his name to Warrior to circumvent that process. Now, you know, business is business. I get it. But if we're going to go down that road, we have to isolate these things. And even Dean was saying it himself, you know, recently,
yep.
Like, we're supposed to be independent contractors. But we know, yep, there's a lot of twists and turns and, you know, little dark corners of the contract or the language that doesn't make it seem like you're a legit independent contractor.
Hey, but Keith, at the end of the day, guess what? You signed it.
Yep.
At the end of the day, you agree. At the end of the day, bottom line, you agreed to it. So don't get mad at the end of it when it don't work out for you, because it worked out.
What I'm saying is this. Well, if you're selling it as independent contract, then sell it as what it really is. But we know that it's not. For instance, you brought this up too. Look. If Luke Harper was truly an independent contractor and his situation came up, right, he would have been able to leave. But no, they tacked on extra days to his contract so he couldn't leave once they caught the wave of what's really going down. Now, for me, I do agree. Hey, if you sign it, you got to abide by it, do what you got to do. But at the same time, we can't act like it's not funny business on the behalf of the people that signed up, you know, their name on the checks and the people that sign their name on the bottom of the contract. We can't act like it's not funny business when we know it is.
I'm not saying it's not funny business, but we go even go to boxing. Mike Tyson knew what he was getting into when he went to bed with Don King. You know, it was mean. You know what you're getting into when you sign a contract with Vince McMahon. This ain't the first rodeo. You should have your attorney look at it. You should have your agents look at it. You should say, you know what, Vince, I don't like this paragraph right here. This paragraph right here doesn't make sense to me. If I get injured, see, now if I'm a new WWE recruit and I'm coming in, these are the questions I'm asking before I sign a WWE contract.
And then you know what's going to happen to you? Wait, and you know what's going to happen to you? They're going to say, thank you for your future endeavors. You're asking too many questions. You're asking for too much.
Goodbye.
But I got an alternative now, which is AEW. I have an alternative,
thank
which
you.
Is Ring of Honor. I have an alternative now, which is New Japan. So to make money, wrestling business is so hot that I don't really need to go to WWE to make a decent living.
No, you don't. No. Not right now, you don't.
So if they want to change it, then the way you change it is that, you know, when these times all you learn from everybody else's mistakes, and you know what? At the end of the day, not WWE, you know what? Not for me.
Yeah, and then also, just to counter the point you just made, but there's a fundamental difference between Vince McMahon and Don King in the sense that Mike Tyson was never signed under the premise that he was an independent contractor.
Sure.
Like that, he didn't do that. Like that's where the language you know, the treatment may be similar, but Mike was never viewed as an independent contractor. Plus, Don King would do things like charge you $500 for towels, which is another story.
Oh, boy.
You know? And so, that's, I mean, I guess that's the thing where if you want to be able to keep your own things and your own stuff, that's where your negotiations come in. And what it seemed like to me, and I've not been a wrestler, it seemed like some of these wrestlers don't have negotiating skills. Because some other wrestlers can negotiate the jet. They can negotiate the money.
It's all right. You're gonna sign our contract for what we want. Oh, you don't want to? Bye. That's what it's been. That's how it's been since WCW closed their doors. It's all about leverage, like you said. You can only have leverage after you get past the initial first contract, and then you prove yourself or you get hired. You know, which doesn't happen for everyone. Now there's an alternative, and when there's an alternative, you have options. So now you can say, okay, this is what you're offering me. I don't want that. I want this. And if they say no, then you can say, okay, well, I'll go to the aforementioned promotions that you said. So I think the fact that AEW is even, you know, providing a platform and a stage at this level for incoming talent or established talent or talent that's midway through their career or whatever, I think that's a good thing. And I think that we can all agree that this is a very good thing, you know, moving forward for the industry.
Oh, definitely. I think this is a good thing for the wrestling business, not only from the product what we see on TV, but from what you, for the things that you mentioned, the health insurance, the other things, maybe some time off, off-season in pro wrestling. These guys are being what you quote-unquote true independent contractors, working for AEW and still working for New Japan, still working for other companies that's out there where you should get a true independent contractor. So time will tell how long this will last. I don't know if they have any exclusive AEW contract that I know of. We know Jericho's still working a New Japan show coming up. Dean Ambrose is going to work a show with New Japan with Juice Robinson here in the next couple of weeks. So I like the fact that they're keeping true to what their independent contractor is. It's just a matter of time if it eventually they see it biting them in the butt somewhere down the line. And maybe the old stigma of if your champion loses somewhere else, it doesn't mean anything to us wrestling fans today as it meant back in the 60s and 70s, because we all know that it's scripted TV.
Right.
And it's not real. And I think that was the biggest issue back in the day was, I can't let Jerry Lawler go down there. You can't go down to Memphis to beat Jerry Lawler because, Jerry Lawler can't come to WCCW and lose because he's a Memphis champion. Or Ric Flair can't go down. He's an NWA champion. He can't go down to USWA and lose because he's an NWA champion. You know?
Right. You're right.
It does, and that was the biggest issue because everybody thought it was going to affect their promotion because the champion lost in another promotion. Which, i.e., the problem with Pac. Nobody would have cared if he lost and he was the Dragon Gate champion. Truth be told, how many fans really thought knew that he was a Dragon Gate champion?
Exactly.
So I think that's where Cody and them are having, they're making it appealing for wrestlers to come there because they're meeting all the things that WWE does not want to do or can't do and or chooses not to do. And we'll see. Now, I don't know if it's all Vince. We don't know if it's Vince. We don't know if Vince, when Vince closes his eyes, that'll be something to Hunter and change. You don't know. You know, only time will tell. But right now, AEW is the hot thing on the market, and they're doing something different, which is fun. And wrestling fans have a different alternative, which is AEW.
Yes, they do.
You know,
great point, G-Lo.
You know, which is good. You know, I know we spent a lot of time on AEW this week, AEW, but I wanted to check with this with WWE. We also, WWE, you have right now a Brock Lesnar not knowing that the Money in the Bank contract was for a whole year. To me, I think Brock is doing some of his best work right now because he's being funny. He's being Brock Lesnar. He's being who he is. He's giving the fans basically something to look at. And him and Paul Heyman are great. It gives an intriguing storyline. You know, fans were getting upset. They thought Brock was going to cash in on Seth Rollins or they were going to cash in on Kofi Kingston. I don't see Brock cashing in anytime soon. I think these two guys, I think WWE's happy with Kofi's run. And I think they're happy with Seth Rollins' run. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, just to quickly touch on that before we go, it's I mean, you kind of hit it already. Pretty much right now, they're not worried about anything else. The bottom line is they pretty much just want to make sure that, you know, with these different ways of people coming through to money, I mean, they still going to keep their kind of grassroots, but you could see AEW is really out there to kind of change things and make legitimate offers, because you never know. I mean, if they didn't have as much money as with the financial backing that they did, who knows what they're offered from AEW to come work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, you know, one thing I like with WWE, they're not ashamed to say AEW name, hence Sami Zayn. Now, I first saw that on Monday night, and I thought it was a mess up. With him saying AEW, I thought it was a mess up, but come to find out that WWE is allowing that now, or allowing it from him. And was it, I think it was you that might have said it, that he is the voice of Vince McMahon?
Yeah. Various reports out there that they are, the opinions and views of Vince McMahon are being, splattered out throughout everywhere as Sami Zayn. So,
okay. Let's give some closing thoughts on this one. Champ, start with you. Closing thoughts from the AEW weekend. You being out there in Vegas on the grounds, what you saw and what you're looking forward to in the future.
Listen, I'm looking forward to All Out. I think this was a hell of a start in terms of, like, you know, your first branded pay-per-view.
Right.
The only way you can go is up, but you started way ahead, which is a positive. And, I'm like you. I want to see the TV situation. I'm waiting to see how much input Turner Sports has. I'm looking at the way that they even approach this to be something as somewhat of an evolution of the way that, you know, pro wrestling content is delivered and its packaging. Because trust me, once Turner gets their hands involved in the production, like those miscues that you guys might have saw on the broadcast, those things ain't going to happen too much more. So they're going to have A1 level, elite level production from a historical institution that has delivered all sorts of sports throughout the generation that we know of. So that's going to be great. Now, separating that from the current product to the lead up to their debut on cable television, I mean, I'm along for the ride. I wish I could go to the next pay-per-view event just to see if they can maintain it, you know, but I'll definitely tune in. And I just think that this particular weekend is going to be a mainstay on the calendars of professional wrestling fans from all over.
It will. Go ahead, Julo.
You know, I'm enjoying the pay-per-view Double Nothing. Only thing I would change was I wouldn't make it 5 hours, but nonetheless, I enjoyed the pay-per-view. I enjoyed how it went. I enjoyed the pleasant surprises that we had. Made you, as a wrestling fan, excited. I'm almost one of those wrestling fans, hope they keep it on Saturday night as a pay-per-view, instead of giving it to us on Sunday, which is different. To me, I want to do as much things different as WWE as possible. So the conversation of them competing with WWE, or the conversation of them being compared to WWE, is down. I'm not telling them to go Impact Wrestling and get a six-sided brain, but I'm telling them to have their own storyline, their own their unique twist of things. I think StarCast is a unique twist they have, even though they two separate entities kind of together. I like how the fans, how they interact with the interaction with the fans. And I think that is key. And I love the post-press conferences where you have reporters actually go back there and their wrestlers are actually talking to the reporters. I think they should do that more often because reporters love wrestling. I mean, you got Forbes magazine who writes about wrestling. You got newspapers. So now wrestling is back on the map as like it should be. So that's what I'm excited about. I have everybody talking about wrestling again. And truth be told, if UFC don't create stars, they're going to get pushed out because this wrestling movement is very strong and heavy right now.
Yeah, well, that's another conversation for another day.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think what's happening is the fan base is there. Yeah, we got to talk about that another time.
Was it? Well, final thoughts and take us home.
Yeah. Pretty much at this point, you can't expect too much. I mean, you can ride the wave of what AEW did this past weekend, but you can't expect too much because they're not on TV yet. I can't pass judgment on them positively or, I mean, you can get all these different positive prompts, but as far as everything else, I've got to wait until they debut on the network first.
I take that. I agree with that. Definitely agree with that. Hey, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.